Welcome to Sounding Board Parenting, creating healthier human connections through the commonality of parenting, exploring the world of parenting with high-performing mums and dads from a range of backgrounds, industries, and family dynamics. This week's guest is Ivan Reynoso, a father of three and recently grandfather of one. After working more than 12 years in the human services field, Ivan moved to India to work in congregational development. Originally from Ecuador, South America, and having spent time around the world, he shares his experiences of being a parent of two sons and a daughter who are all now living their own lives as adults. Let's jump in.
What roles do you play in life? It's quite a broad question, but...
In their life?
In your life. So what roles do you consider yourself to be playing at the moment?
I mostly do counseling, and also I do some training and spiritual education.
Yeah, awesome. And obviously, father being a key role in all that mix as well.
Yeah, of course, that's always there. I remember a friend of mine told me that, you're a father and a mother forever. So you may play different roles in your life, but particularly being a father, or in the mother in that case, parenting, it's always a constant. So it's something that you always, even if you have a very active involvement or not, it's always there. So it plays a big part for, at least for me.
It's interesting, and we've talked about this before, but around identifying with roles as who we are, I think it's something that I've seen personally in my personal life, but also just in the community as well. What's your thoughts on that, especially in the world of parenting as well?
Well, I think it's a matter of how you see it. I believe that it's, of course, a very important role. But for me personally, it's a journey in one sense, because you do learn through all the situations that you go through. And of course, I have to admit, and I guess every father and mother would share this, that it's a stressful at times, but it's also very rewarding. But again, it's how you see it. So in my case, I learned how to appreciate that role and enjoy it, even though at times it was stressful, very stressful, for different reasons, some different factors, you know, in different situations. But I get a lot of it, a lot of reward out of it. Yeah.
How would you say parenting has changed your life?
Quite drastically, I would say. I never imagined to do these sort of things. You know, I mean, although I have a very juvenile mentality in many ways, you know, for better or worse, whatever, I don't care. But I was being very playful and sporting and going out and that kind of person. But parenting sort of grounded me much more than what I ever thought I would be. And although still I maintain clear traits in my life and the way that I am, it forced me, you know, to for lack of a better word, it forced me to do and experience things that I didn't think that I would put up with or tolerate. So in that sense, it changed me a lot.
When you say like being able to tolerate, do you have some examples around that come to mind?
Well, very simple, very straightforward. Tolerating jobs that I wouldn't tolerate otherwise. But I was thinking, I got three kids, I got a mortgage to pay, I got these guys to feed and all the responsibilities that come with it. Then I thought, okay, I wouldn't in any other situation tolerate something like that, but because of them, I had to. And I learned, that's what I was mentioning earlier, that I learned that by doing that, I experienced some kind of inner satisfaction that, you know, you have to put your ego aside and say, okay, I'm doing this as a sacrifice for somebody else. Although I signed for something that I didn't really know that what I was signing for.
Yeah.
But at some point I realized, hey, I'm not the only one. So many parents or mothers or fathers do this. So why would I be different? And I rather do it with gusto instead of just, you know, complaining and being a father is such a burden, you know. And but I did it, and when I went through the whole thing, I realized this helped me. This helped me a lot.
That's awesome. That's really cool. Can you take me through the story behind when you behind the moment that you found out you were going to be a father for the first time?
Yeah, scary, if I would say.
Yeah.
Scary movie.
I think that's something common.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, that's a usual thing. But yeah. I remember I had different moments in my life when I thought, okay, this is this for real.
Mm.
And I remember when my daughter, the first one, I mean, the only one, when she was born, and I remember the first time holding her, it was just like a, I don't know, of course, a dream in a way, but also it's like a nightmare in a sense that, okay, now this little thing, this creature that I'm holding, and she was crying and crying. It was just like a sort of dissociating moment for me because, you know, enough of being free, able to travel and do whatever I want, if I felt like, if not, in whatever, you know, circumstance, whatever context I was. Now it's different. Now I have to provide for this.
It's life changing.
Yeah, it's totally. For me, it was a big impact. Until today, I remember every instant of that situation. And it was a whole thing. I mean, I have written about it. I have shared in front of people when discussing about parenting or sometimes self-disclosing realizations about, you know, parenting. And it marked me. I mean, each of the times when my kids were born, I remember exactly what happened. I have written my notes and journals, and I remember exactly some of the thoughts that I had when that happened. And of course, that in perspective after 28 years, 25 years, etc., it helps me to keep myself in traction. Like, am I doing what I thought I would be doing? You know, is it fulfill my expectations, whether from their side of my or my side? Am I doing what I was meant to do or what I thought I should do?
Mm.
So yeah, I think I use it a lot to, as my self-reflective practice sort of thing, to see myself in the mirror. You know, what are you doing for them or for yourself in this context?
So as a parent, Ikspaku, you mentioned reflecting through journaling and that type of method. Is that something that was consistent throughout your time as a parent? Like, would you take time to reflect on how you were parenting, on the parent you wanted to become? Like, were there many moments like that throughout the journey so far?
In general, I would say yes, because I do like to write, and I'm a talkative person, so I like to share it. And you know, when you have kids, that's a very big part of your life, and a lot of your thinking, feeling, talking, relating to others had to do with your kids.
Mm-hmm.
So I often find myself, you know, meditating on them in the sense of what do they mean to me and what am I doing with them, and sharing that with others and trying to learn from that experience. So in general, yes, there were times where I was more conscious of that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think what happened to me is that I tried to not change what I was, or the way that I am, rather. And if I liked sports, I liked them to be sporty, and I would go and play with them. I love the beach, so I would take them to the beach all the time, so they become beach bums like me, in a way. I love surfing, I love nature, so I like to sort of transmit that, you know, convey these are my values. And and yeah, that helped us also to have a very strong bond, because with them we can do exactly the same things, and we learn how to enjoy together that. We like traveling, you know, trips to nature, the beach, eat together, have fun together. So in a sense, although one aspect of it is the reflective part of, you know, you being a father or a parent in general, but also to project that, whether if you're not writing it, reflecting on it in your actions, you're sort of projecting who you are and telling them your stories. So they become like your notebooks in a sense, because, you know, you are passing on your history, your legacy, yeah, your values, or whatever that is. So yes, so I can say that I know them very well, but also they know me quite well, because I tell them what I like, what I don't like, and what, how was my childhood, and, you know, being a Latin, and Latins have a very specific way of being, and parenting, Latin parenting is very, very specific.
Okay.
You know, loud mouth and foul mouth, and, you know, a bit rough sometimes, but that's part of how we were brought up. And they, you know, we learn how to use that in our relationship, in order to sort of develop a sense of identity, or a combined identity, I would say.
Yeah. I'm curious to circle back to that as well, in terms of what you experienced from a parenting point of view throughout your childhood as mm-hmm. well, and what you've seen going on around you. But just to go back to... I suppose along the way, it's not all smooth sailing as a parent usually. Can you take us through some of the challenges that you faced as a parent?
As a parent or as a child?
As a parent.
Oh, okay. A parent. Well, the first one, I have a few, but first one is financial. That was the first thing that hit me hard.
Yeah.
Because I thought, okay, you know, I took the path of being a missionary since early on, when I was 19, and that changed my life quite drastically also. And so within that spiritual sort of approach to life, one of the thinking is that whatever destiny, whatever life brings, that's it. Whatever comes on its own accord, I would accept it. So I was, I wouldn't say irresponsible necessarily, but I was quite aloof and detached of what money means and jobs and accumulating things. I was just like, okay, I guess I learned in living in an ashram to leave, you know, a sleeping bag and just a backpack, and that's it. And I loved it. I enjoyed it. I think it's a, for me, it's a luxury. So then I thought, okay, I'm just going to train my kids to live like that, and teach them that this is actually a form of richness to life, you know. But then, of course, then when it comes to diapers and doctors and so many other things, then you think, okay, you need to have a career or a steady source of income and savings and investing and all these sort of things that for me was a very shocking reality that I had to face. And it shook me. It shook me. And it was a very, challenging. Challenging situation throughout my life, because I did struggle quite a lot. You know, I left my university early on in life. I had to go back to university eventually, you know, when I was 40. And as I said before, I had to put up with jobs and people and situations that I wouldn't have put up at all, especially given my personality and the way of life that I chose early on. So, but hey, at the end of the day, I thought, I'm learning, and now I can say I went through the ropes.
Yeah.
You know, so that's a big one that I could say, you know, financial, getting a job, all these sort of things, finding my place in the working world.
Yeah,
that's one thing.
So you mentioned before you had a natural detachment from the financial aspect of parenting and that whole side of it. It sounds like it's something that you reflect on as maybe making it more challenging for yourself as a parent, but it's something I actually admire, because I don't know if it's my conditioning or the environment that I come from, but that was something that provided a lot of stress for me initially, just being sort of focused on it from the start. Is that, I suppose, the first part of that question was, is it something you reflect on as negative now, and in terms of providing advice to your children as they become parents, will it be different for yourself?
I think that it's basically, or the lesson that I learned from all this, it's balance. Because, you know, when I was younger, And when I didn't have kids, I could, you know, be detached in that sense. But now the detachment had a different perspective. And the detachment was detachment from my own conditioning. I didn't have a chance to exercise what I thought, okay, this is how I am, this is what I choose, and I'm just going to be like that, and I'm going to do this and that. But then I was forced to do something, as I said, that I wouldn't have otherwise. But I didn't see it. I mean, maybe in that very moment when I was going through those motions of having to tolerate things that I didn't want to tolerate, you could say that it has a bit of a negative connotation. But then I started seeing the beauty of sticking to your duty, because this is your duty. And then I thought, this is something that life has given me, and I have to. And it was something very interesting, that the more I accepted it, the more I enjoy it. And for me, that was very revealing on one hand, and secondly, kind of enlightening. It was, so my point is, it wasn't negative at all, but I think it's because also I embrace my duty, and that was it. But yes, in the beginning it was like, oh, and then I have to do this, and I have one, and I have two, and I have three kids. And you know, when they're growing, they more demands, let's say financially to start with.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I eventually thought, I remembered, at some point when all of them were somewhat growing, and they were not little babies, when they were growing, I felt like, I can do this. I wouldn't say a mastery or anything like that, but yeah. I thought, yeah, I can do this. I can do this. Now I can talk to a father and say, hey, this is what you're meant to do. And I can say it because I did it.
Doable. Is there a time that feeling is clear to you, that feeling came along? Was it after the first, the second, the third?
I can definitely say after the third, and especially after the third, start growing more and more. But of course, they are like a pack, you know, and they're all growing together at the same time, you know. And then you, I wouldn't say there are certain defining moments, that's for sure. But I think it's a progressive a flow of things, and you know, it's like the fog. Eventually you start seeing things. And then another interesting thing is that there are times when you think, oh, I got this, I know what it is to be a father, I know what it is to be a parent, I know. And then some other challenges come, and then you think, oh gee, I didn't expect this. And then and then you go through it, and then you know, okay, now it is. And then you keep growing. You know, that's the whole thing. But now I think, of course, now I'm 56, and I'm thinking, okay, now I know. But I know now my son is going to have a baby, and then it's like, oh, this is another level. You know, it's like when you do a sports, it's like levels of difficulty, and then you're like, okay, now it's like a vicarious experience. So whatever he's going to go through, I know sort of what does that mean, and how would I react, or how would I support that. And how would it affect me? Because it's like they're your extensions, sort of, you know. So yeah, I think that it's a gradual thing. It's a gradual thing. For of course, you become more and more expert out of your experience. That's simple as that, I guess.
What are some of the biggest joys you've experienced as a parent?
A few things. One, some of them did come very natural. Like I remember early on thinking, in fact, there's a few things that I remember. You mentioned the word choice, and I remember when my daughter was 1 month old, we had to cross the border because she was born in Malaysia, and Malaysia is a Muslim country, and we didn't have you know, the allowed visa for her to stay and deliver the baby there. We were meant to, you know, go back home or some other country that we had a long-term visa. But whatever it was, so she was born in Malaysia, and after 1 month we had to leave the country. You know, with a 1 month old baby, that's challenging. And we went by train, And we crossed to the border in the south of Thailand, I remember. And then I remember I was there, I was so stressed, you know, very limited money. Would they give me the visa? What would I do if I don't get the visa? I have to come back, because that would be my way to go back to America eventually, in South America. And I remember at that point, when I was walking and was carrying my baby in the in a prawn, and I was just, and then I thought, you know what, I'm gonna enjoy this. I remember I was walking by a shop and I heard a song. I still remember the song, and I thought, you know what, I'm gonna enjoy this. You know, until today I remember a song. I always tell her, this is our song, this is our song. And the very next day, and then I knew more or less where we were, but in terms of geography, I thought, but the beach is just nearby. And then I took her and I said, from now on, I'm going to join my kids. I don't want to be in anxiety. Well, of course, you are in anxiety for different reasons.
Yeah.
And then I took her. She was 1 month old, and I put her in the, I bathed her in the ocean. And I said, okay, from now on, I'm really going to enjoy being a father, not only suffer because of the anxiety that that brings, and if I don't have enough money, I don't have a degree, or I don't have savings, or I don't have a business, or whatever it is, I'm going to enjoy it. So, yeah, these are the moments where I chose to be myself, enjoy the things that I like, and share that with my kids. That's some of the, you know, things that I remember. Then apart from that, after many years, it came a time when I thought I need to come to India, because early when I was a young traveling missionary, I lived in India. I was single, and I really had a connection with this place. And then I thought, I want to come back. And at some point in my life, I had sold my house, and I, you know, have wrapped up a few things that I had in Australia. And then I thought, this is my time. But I was torn, because my kids were growing. They weren't so big. They're still, I don't know, I think the youngest one was still a teenager, maybe 18, 19, I forgot.
Yeah.
And, you know, is that worry that what would happen if they do something wrong or this and that. So, but I was blessed by having very good friends. And many of them coincided that, you know, you have to look after yourself. But it sounded selfish, because that's something that you try to reject when you're a father. Yeah. You know, that you cannot be selfish. Or there's a limit to that. There's a boundary. I was thinking, it's a selfish move. But then I remember I called them all and talked to them. I said, look, this is my situation. And my friends kept telling me, number one, talk to them. Number two, if you do that, you will be happy, or happier. And they will be happy for you. Not only that, they also can come and visit you. And because you all like, you know, we like the beach, we like India, we like traveling, we have many things that we do share in terms of liking it and loving it. So everyone told me it would be good. So when I spoke to them, they told me that you better go, because what are you going to do here? The other thing, that's what I wanted to say. The other thing is that, because, you know, as a father, as a Latin father, I would say, I'm quite paranoid and controlling. I mean, I tend to think like that. But actually, in reality, I'm very liberal. No much choice nowadays. But the thing is that I was thinking, you know, if they're in trouble, then I can help them.
Yeah.
That was one thing. The other thing is that if I'm around, they'll be more scared to do the wrong thing. Remember, many friends told me, look, they can live under your bed and still do whatever nonsense they want to do. So it's not, maybe it would even be worse. Because they will feel like, oh, daddy's controlling me, or daddy's chasing me, or, you know.
Yeah.
And yeah, so I moved. I left Australia, I came here. And yeah, sure enough, every time they came, sometimes for a month or two, they would stay 3, 4, 5, 6 months. My youngest one, he came to stay, I think 3, 4 months. He ended up staying, I think, 1.5 years. And we developed a few things. We toured America, we traveled to places.
That's awesome.
So my point is that sometimes you have to make choices that are good, not only for them, She says, that's good, then that's needed, but also good for you, because then you will be in a better place, and you can be, I would say, I mean, without sounding cliche, a better father. You're a better person, more content. So that's my little learning.
Exactly. How would you describe your parenting style? You started to dive into it, I think, there. I'm interested to hear your thoughts on that.
I don't know. I think I'm very optimistic in many ways. That's maybe my personality. And I would say, to the point that sometimes I'm delusional. So I could say bluntly that I think I'm a good father.
Yeah.
And maybe I heard it from somebody. I heard it from other parents that the best way to measure how good or bad a father you are or parent, it's according to your kid's evaluation.
Yeah.
And again, I attribute this to my good friends, and I think it's important as a father, because the tendency is like, okay, I own these kids, you know, especially when they are babies, they are little, you know, they are mine, they are my product, you know. So the tendency is that whatever I think, it's right, because I'm the father. I love them more than anyone, or the parent, or mother, in whichever case. But what I learned is that a friend of mine told me the best result or goal that you can have as a father is to have a good relationship with them. And I remember that still today, and still I'm very grateful and close friends to the person who told me this, that is what you are meant to be, especially at a certain age. In the beginning, it's a matter of safety and nurturing and protection and education and support and all the rest. But at some point, it's relationship. It's, you know, you're a human being, they're a human being, and they have, you know, a mind of their own and, you know, personality of their own. Sometimes, like sometimes it is said around that you wake up and you got a stranger at home, you know, and that always was a nightmare for me, that I don't become a stranger for them and they are not strangers for me, you know. And sometimes you like the strangers, sometimes you don't. And so that was a bit of my nightmare in terms of shaping my style of parenting. So I think that in the beginning I was very, I wouldn't say authoritarian, but being a Latin, that also shaped my style. So because my parents were very strict and rigid and all the rest. And you know, in the Latin culture, you are meant to obey and meant to listen and respect your parents. So I would demand that. But then eventually I could see the fun side of being a father, you know. So let's joke together, let's you know, make fun of each other, let's cook together, let's travel together, let's go to the beach, let's talk, and you know. So as I said, you know, I tend to think that I'm a good father and that I have a good parenting style, but it hasn't been easy, and of course you commit many, many mistakes, but the idea is to learn from your mistakes. That's the whole thing. So I don't know, I think my parenting style has changed according to the times, especially when they grow up. And my conclusion is, if they think I'm a good father, then I'm happy.
Awesome.
And you know, if they have an issue with that, then I get concerned. I think, okay, what do I have to change? And you know, how can I improve? But my relationship with all of them, it's quite healthy and fun. And whatever I go through, whatever they go through, we are bonded by that close relationship. I wouldn't say as a friend, but as a supporting, you know, members of the same family.
You've mentioned several times now that support of your friends at defining moments of your parenting. What importance, two-part question, what importance do you place on having those people, having those friends around you in those moments, and how has parenting impacted your relationships, all types of relationships, I should say?
I think it's crucial in everything practically in life. Your friends are those who can help you. It's like a mirror, and they are real. If they are true friends, they will tell you where you're right and where you're wrong. And one should have a very healthy or positive and open relationship so that you can take it.
Yeah.
Right. So as I said also earlier, I was blessed to having good example of parents in the case of my friends, and I think it's crucial, because every time I remember now, every time I had difficult testing situations with my children, I would consult my friends. It became like a habit kind of thing. I will not whinge about them, but share with them.
Yeah.
I'm going through this and I'm struggling. What is your advice? And I will ask maybe two, three of them, and generally the same ones. We develop this relationship. I have maybe three or four of them. And they generally gave me an advice that was right for me.
Yeah.
That was
because they knew you as a person as well. Yeah.
Yeah. They knew me as a person, they knew my kids. They knew our relationship with each one of them, because each one of them is quite different from each other. So that's the situation. The other part of the question, you said, how does my parenting
influence
my relationship?
Yeah.
There are some lines for parents, fathers and mothers. My children come first. That's a very important aspect of my life, of my decisions, my relationships. Nobody messes up around with my children. That's one thing. That's one of the rules.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's a Latin thing or whatever. I don't really care, but it's very, we may say, animalistic, a very basic sort of reaction to the world. You know, you mess around with the cups of a lion or something, you know what it would mean.
Yeah.
You know, doing the wrong thing.
Yeah.
So it has influenced me in a way that my friends are those who are considerate and supportive of my friends, of my kids, rather. Those are my true friends. And I still today value those who, during my life, have been friends and a source of support for them. Like, they know.
Yeah.
They are my kids. They have my back forever. That's something that I, you know. So yes, to a great extent, and I don't know if people know, but it's just a natural thing.
Yeah.
They are good with me. They are good with my kids. It doesn't go separate. No, they can be like, oh yeah, I'm good friends with you, but I don't like your kid. Oh, that's not there. They may not like what they did or what they said or how they behave in certain. I agree with that, because that's also with me. But in principle, you know, they have to be supportive of them. Otherwise, there's no deal.
What parenting did you experience as a child when you were growing up, both from your parents, but just throughout Ecuador and also just through what you've seen from your friends in that as well? What parenting were you exposed to?
My parents were quite distant, I would say. And I don't know if this is a general rule, but sometimes, at least in my case, that's what happened. Many times I thought, this is exactly what I wouldn't do to my kids. And one of the things that I experienced quite a lot was the absence of my parents, because they were working, you know, working hard. They were business people. They're always busy working. And so I take the working part. I tried to work hard, but I always try to give time to my kids so they don't feel what I felt when I was a kid. When I needed them, they weren't there for me. Or at least that was my perception. Maybe in their mind or in their ways, they were very supportive, education and holidays and whatever I wanted, but they weren't there for me. So I remember I used to think that, what is the point of having all these or cars or properties or whatever if we cannot have a better connection? So, of course, they did the best they could. And, you know, they were really trying to improve the family's financial situation. I could see running different businesses and stuff like that. But that was my perception. On one side, emotionally very absent. So as I said, I don't know if this is a general rule, but in my case, it worked the other way. Mm. I said, whatever, even if I don't have enough to eat or luxuries to give to my kids, I will be emotionally present, because that's what, that was the greatest need for me. Even when I was little, growing up, particularly, I felt, you know, I'm alone here, although we were four, you know, we had two sisters and one brother. But so that's something that I remember. On the other hand, they were very generous, very supportive, and I was a good student, I was a good kid kind of thing, so they wouldn't bother me much. They were quite rigid, they had boundaries, you know. This is kind of a traditional thing in Latin culture. So I think I took almost by osmosis some of their roles in terms of parenting. Providers, very protective, very territorial in regards of their children, family oriented, but emotionally absent. That's what I try to reverse in my case.
It sounds like it's had that impact as well.
Yeah, very much so. I have gone through and why I'm like this, why I'm like that, but it's like that. So, and I always thought to myself, you know, I will be always there for them emotionally more than anything, you know. And I remember going, doing bicycles or skating or surfing and camping and music and my friends. That was a big thing, you know, because it's like, oh, don't hang out with that one. Don't do this. Don't do that. You better do this. I rebel to that controlling thing. But with my kids, I try, okay, you love to skate, go. I remember at some point, you know, when my kids were like 17, 14, 12, whatever the age, because it's like, you know, what is it, 3 and 2, it's like five, six years between all of them. So I will drive them all. At night, I'll take my daughter to the parties and pick them up at midnight or 1 or 2 o'clock or whatever it is. The next morning, I'll take the other kid to go and play sports. And then noontime, we'll go to the beach. And I was just the driver of the children. And I enjoy it. I enjoy it, I have to say. You know, I don't care. And that's one thing. The other thing is, like, my kids' friends, they can consider our house like their house. They can come, eat, play, run amok. I don't care. But because that's something that I didn't experience that much in my house when I was little. So, yeah, there are a few things that I could say that I've changed. You know?
That's awesome. What sort of impact has parenting had on your career from when you became a parent and then through that journey as well?
My career, mainly as a counselor, I was able, when I was doing parenting, was very interesting because I remember that I thought, okay, I'm a good father, so I can give an example. But of course, in counseling, you don't tell people what to do. You help them to find their own solutions because everyone is different. So a couple things happened to me. One is that I learn a lot because I learn from parents and from counselors the right ways of doing, of being a parent, and also in using what's called self-disclosure. I could empathize with some of the feelings and sometimes some of the unhealthy feelings that people will have in regards of parenting, that stress about the financial needs that the family of the children will have. And sometimes people will, in a very negative or unhealthy way, respond or react to those things, you know, being irresponsible, wanting to stay away from them, etc. So I could see that the experience that I had as a child being parent in a certain way, and my becoming a parent myself, and the process of that, it helped me to understand people better when they have problems with their own parenting. Because parenting is not an independent thing. It doesn't only happen with your children. It happens with your friends in terms of you are a father. Your identity changes with your partner, husband, wife, and all that. You are a parent, and you are a specific type of parent. and that permeates in other relationships. And so, yeah, I think it influenced me a lot as a person, as a father, and as a worker, because I could connect better with those who are going through the motions of being a young father or a young mother, or, you know, single father, single mother. I could relate better in certain ways with some of the experiences that people were going through.
That's cool, because it's something I've personally experienced as well, the commonality of parenting being a really positive cause for stronger connections with other people that are maybe expecting parents or new parents like myself. And is that something that you experienced throughout your journey so far, that it has been easier to connect in a healthy way through that?
Totally. Yeah. I mean, I try not to keep it to the level that it's so superficial, that just because you're a father or you're a mother or you're a parent, you get along with someone who is a parent. Because I try to go to the point of, to the place of values. What are my values? Yes, it's nice to buy something for your kid or do something with them or for them. But the values aspect of, what does it mean to be a father? What does it mean? It's a cute thing when they're little. When they grow up, they give you a hard time. And then at some point, you're lucky that this guy is on his own or her own, whatever. But it's more the values. The values not only for them, because it's not that you are a perfect model that you have to photocopy and they have to carry that with them in their lives, but rather the learning in terms of values that, you know, responsibility, love, companionship, support, etc. That's something that you have to work on your own for your own benefit, and also that shows, you know, towards them that, you know, this is how my dad did it, or this is how my mom did it, or parents, or whatever it is. And sometimes for good and sometimes for bad. No, I wouldn't do that because, like in my case, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think it's quite an important thing in terms of how do you see at the end of the day, because, you know, being a parent is a role. And the way that I see it, it's an application of your values. That's when it comes. Your values are going to, it's good to have them in your head or in your heart. But if you don't manifest it, you don't, you know, show them in tangible ways, then what's the point? You're just talking, you're fake.
The verbal doesn't have the meaning the action behavior does.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it is crucial that what you believe and what you feel and what you value, it's properly manifested with your children. And that is the task. I think that is the key aspect of being a parent, that you have to learn how to. No, I didn't mean to say that. I didn't mean to do that. But yeah, but you did it. You offended them, you abandoned them, you let them down, you hurt them. And you can do that. But sometimes you do, because you're imperfect and you're learning. And you rather acknowledge that early on rather than thinking, no, I'm a father, I know better, I love you the most, but you don't understand. No, no. We have to consider what they feel, what they perceive, what they observe. And then, yeah, just enjoy the ride. And I'm learning here. They will be learning from your learning. So that's a cycle.
And owning those mistakes along the way as well. It's interesting. My son, Oscar, he's 2.5, so he's starting to enter that phase of asking questions. Just small questions like, what's that noise? Or
why?
Or why? Or what? Why do we do this? Just those little things. And something from a conscious point of view that I've been trying to practice lately is when there's genuinely times that I don't know what the noise is actually just being honest and saying, I don't know, Oscar. But then following that up with, what do you think it is? Just trying to get, I suppose, that open sort of dialogue in that relationship going of, at the end of the day, I'm actually genuinely curious on what he thinks it is as well. And I suppose just from a lot of readings as well, just getting to the point of understanding that could potentially translate in later in his life when he's an adult, whether it's in the workplace or with his own family, that at the end of the day, it's okay not to know. And it's okay to then go on and find out what it is too, and ask other people for their opinions too.
Yeah, I learn, you know, I practice spirituality from the Oriental school, bhakti, which translates into love and devotion to the Supreme and to everyone else. And then one of the practices that I do is what's called mantra yoga. Mantra means something that helps you to control your mind. That's what mantra literally means. Sometimes it says it's a prayer, or it's a affirmation. That's the word. But one mantra that I learned early on, and again, one of my best friends told me the 3-syllable mantra. I don't know. And you mentioned it a few times when you were saying, and it's true. It's okay to not know. And it's okay to tell them, hey, there are times when you wouldn't know, but hey, it's okay. You know, because it gives you a sense of real humility. You know, sometimes we talk about ego, false ego, this, that. But that's when you have to say, hey, I'm just an instrument here, trying to do my job, my duty, my dharma, my role. And sometimes you just don't know. And that makes you humble in the sense that, okay, I don't know. If I don't know something, I need to learn.
Yeah.
So let me learn. And you can share it. Like, hey, I'm trying here, but at this point, I don't know. I promise I will try to know and let you know.
Find that. Yeah.
You know, or let's learn together about this, you know. So
yeah,
that's, I think it's very, very important to keep it real. You know, the I don't know mantra. That's, I always remember that one.
That's a good one. Might try and use that a little bit more now as well. If you could travel back in time with one piece of advice for your pre-parent self, what would that one piece of advice be?
A confusing one, I would say. Or paradoxical, rather. You know, this is a thing that I always thought within myself. I would have rather be ready before having a kid. And in ways I would have had savings, in ways I would have finished my career, in ways I would have waited more to have a child. But then what I realized after all these years is that you will never be really ready. That's the way of life.
Yeah.
You will never be ready, and you will be ready after you do it.
Yeah.
You know, if you have the good intention, you will be good. Like they say in Australia, like fruit, it'll become good.
Yeah.
It eventually becomes good. So as we say with the children, you know, don't worry. I remember many times our friends or colleagues in the counseling agencies that I used to work, and I would say, oh, my kid is giving me a hard time. My daughter said this and the other one did that, whatever. They said, no, don't worry. They'll become good. You know, they'll become good. But I think in terms of parents, we will become good and ready once we go through the ropes. Not before that. Because you have criminal parents who have money, who have education, who have all what they need to be good parents, but they don't have the choice, the heart to do it. And that it's, you just don't get it. You don't get it from a degree. You don't get it from a seminar or from a work. Maybe some things can give you some awareness of it.
Yeah.
But it's something that goes deeper than that, you know. And actually, it's all over, because you can just watch the animals. They're responsible for their, you know, offsprings. And it's a basic thing. It's a basic thing for animals. It's a basic thing for humans. But the way things are nowadays is like, you know, it's okay to be separated, distant from your loved ones and children specifically, because that's your role. You're here to help them to achieve perfection. I mean, to say something quite specific, there are some mantras, again, from the Vedic tradition, that says if you are not able to help them to become free from the sufferings of this material world, practically, what is that you're doing? What is that you're doing?
Yeah, because it's interesting. You mentioned before, like, those people out there that through a lot of people's eyes, they've got the money, they've got the education, they've got the freedom, the time, and yet it still isn't working out. So it begs the question, well, why isn't it working out? And I think you've just scratched the surface on that. It's something we could probably dive into for a while, but I appreciate you sharing that as well.
I proudly say I don't know exactly. And many times I think are the blessings of, you know, friends and life in general, and all what I went through, and you know, it's something that somehow I think it's in your heart, and you just have to tap into it. That's actually the purpose of meditation, the purpose of spiritual studies and different practices, because otherwise, what's the point? I mean, if we take it a bit further, you know, in many religious or spiritual lines, it is considered that we come from a supreme parent, you know, call it this way or that way, personal, impersonal, whatever it is. But the principle is that somebody puts you here. And somebody's giving you protection. There's light, there's air, there's fruit, there's oceans, there's a river, there's so many things. You are provided. So the lesson that in life we receive is that somebody is, you know, helping me somehow. So the way that life has been designed is that you ended up having something that comes from your body that you are meant to provide for. And not only food, or not only clothes, or not only some luxuries or whatever, but rather love and connection. That's what we are all searching for. So that's generally my way of philosophizing or spiritualizing my parenting. It is your duty, so you just have to do it. And if you do it lovingly, then you will enjoy it and benefit from it. And your kids might learn something from that. Whether they do or they don't, of course, it's always their choice. They can blame me, or they can blame their parents or whoever for not having this or not being breastfed and God knows what. But if they get that, they can take it with them. And I think that that's the purpose of the human race, having the capacity to think, to feel, to will for a higher purpose. That's what I learned from all this so far.
That's beautiful. Is there anything you've read, that you've watched or listened to that stands out when it comes to helping you as a parent? Is there anything that comes to mind straight away? Something?
Actually, yes, very much. You see, when I was a youngster, when I was really little, I wanted to know everything. I had this thing. That was a little thing. I remember I used to read this Reader's Digest, these sort of booklets. And at the end, they would have life stories. And the ones from parents really impacted me, because I thought there is nothing else that compares to the sacrifice and selflessness of a parent. And that really, although I was a little thing and I was just barely able to read, that really touched me. I thought, wow, this is powerful. And then, of course, I grew in a Catholic school, in high school. You know, it's always the Father, and the Supreme Father, and the Father. But for me, it didn't have much of a tangible reality. It was just like, okay, some figured, and then you have the church and all the... And then you call the priest, you call Father. At least in Spanish, you call Father this and that. But I didn't really connect it much with the concept of a... apart from the just the words Supreme Father, but it didn't really hit any buttons in my life. My experience of being parent in a certain way weren't really fulfilling, because as I said, I felt emotionally abandoned in many ways. Then when I grew up in school, Catholic school, it wasn't really fulfilling my queries about life and parenting. I didn't care, honestly. And at some point in my life, for quite a few years, I thought, I don't want to have kids. I thought, you know, I'm never going to have kids. But then I remembered I found the Gita, the Bhagavad Gita. And there are some verses that it is explained how the Supreme Father relates to his children, right, to the living entities. And I thought, okay, that sounds clearer to me. And then I inquired further about it. And he says, okay, there is a person, there is a father, and the role of protecting and providing and all that, it's quite specified there. And then I thought, okay, that's clear for me, at least, than many other religious groups or spiritual schools. But there's one line, there's one verse in the Gita that really hit me. And didn't hit me much when I read it for the first time. It hit me a lot after the years, when my kids start growing up, when I start seeing other parents struggling with their kids. There's one verse that says that whatever you do, I will always be there for you. Hmm. Kind of paraphrasing, you know. Yeah. It's in Sanskrit, and you know, I want to complicate things. But it basically says that even if you do the worst thing, the most abominable thing, if you have some conscience, I will always protect you. I will always be there for you. I will always ensure that you are okay. I will always be there for you. Basically, that's the line that comes from the Gita, you know, from the supreme direction that we find in that book. And then I thought, okay, this is really clever and real. And when I have read this, and now sometimes I teach about this, the Gita, people ask me, that verse doesn't make sense. And immediately I say, yeah, but if you have a kid and if he does something, you will be the first one supporting him or her, you know, as a father, as a mother, you know. In fact, we see that, you know, sometimes we say, if somebody messes up with my kid, I'll become a beast. I'll become an animal. I could kill somebody if somebody messed up with my kid. So these sort of stories that I found in the Vedic literature, in the Gita and other similar texts, make me understand that actually we are the way we are, and we behave in the way we are because we come from somebody who is like that. And that's the understanding that the Vedic literature gives us, that, you know, there is a person, there is a father, and the characteristics that father shows in protecting his children are the same characteristics that are with you, if you're in the right conscience. That's it. Of course, parents can do criminal things to their kids too. So that really spanned my head around in terms of understanding what does parenting mean. Because it's not only a material thing, it's not only a, you know, a formality. It is a spiritual journey, and it's an opportunity to apply spirituality in practical terms. So,
and being there for them in more than one way.
Yeah.
Which it's usually seen as, making sure that roof's over their head or food's on the plate.
Yeah.
That's really cool. I appreciate you sharing that. What do you love about parenting?
What I love about parenting, I don't know. I love the fact, many things I would say. One is, you know, there is a saying from a great saint, that real love is to love yourself. That sounds very selfish, but to love yourself because you are part and parcel of something, of a supreme father, of a source. So in one sense, I love being a father because it helped me realize that I have a higher purpose than just fulfilling my own selfish needs, which it took me many, many years to realize. That's one thing, like in the philosophical sense. The other thing is that I feel useful because I know that my kids need me. They know Dad will be there for us.
Yeah.
That's my line. Whatever it is, I'll jump on the plane, I'll wire you money, I'll give you advice, I can spend hours and hours and hours with any of them, any time of the day, if they need me. That's my commitment. So I love that. You know, it's like, you know how to play guitar, you know how to cook. When you have the opportunity, you do it.
Yeah.
And you love it because you like it anyway. You learn how to love it.
Yeah.
So these are some of the things. Apart from that, there are extra bonuses about it because you can say, okay, I'm giving a good example in whatever context, in whatever capacity, I'm giving a good example to the world. I think also that's very important. As parents, we have the opportunity to influence in a positive sense society. There are so many things that are going wrong, even in terms of parenting, that by being a conscious father or mother, you can help to change those things, so to prevent people to do wrong in terms of their parenting role if you are doing the right thing. So the idea is that the more people who does the right thing will prevent people to do the wrong thing. So I also love that, to say, yes, I'm a caring or loving father, or try to be one. I mean, that's one thing. But, you know, in essence, at the end of the day, I remember one friend of mine that I haven't seen for a long, long time. He spoke to me and then he said, how do you manage being in India and kind of being isolated from, you know, I'm far away from South America where I originate from, and I'm far away from Australia where I lived a large part of my life. So how do you do? How do you manage this? I said, okay, look, I have my wife and I have my children, and these are the nuclear source of support. And when I'm with them, I'm okay. I mean, that's how it is. I have friends, yeah, many, many friends. Some close friends, true. But for me, them is my extended self, you know, for better or worse. And that, I enjoy that. I think it's a blessing.
Yeah.
Because many people may not have that, or even if they have it, in the sense of having children or parents or whatever it is, the connection is there. So if the connection is there, hey, I have it and I love it. That's it. Simple.
This has been an awesome chat, and I appreciate how much you've opened up and shared as well. To finish off every episode, we like to finish off with a segment called Plug Off, which is basically, because I know that there'll be people out there that would like to connect potentially. It might be something that you've said from a parenting point of view, or just in their lives as well, that may have, I suppose, yeah, created an urge in them to want to connect. How can people potentially connect with you, whether it's through email, social media? What's the easiest way to do that?
Well, my email, if it's okay. I don't know, a flood of letters.
So maybe through some other way, but
yeah,
if you're open to that.
Yeah, definitely, totally. Yeah. I mean, that's something that I'm always happy to help.
Awesome.
And actually do a counseling course, a training course, from what I learn and I practice for many, many years. So still, I'm actively counseling people. And parents are no exception.
Yeah.
And so, yes, I'm open for that. And if somebody wants to get a piece of advice from my humble self, I remember one of my spiritual mentors told me once, he said, I said, I feel very unqualified to advise people, when I was getting into this counseling role, you know, over a decade ago. And he told me, actually, you are very valuable because you are not, admittedly have committed many mistakes.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's like in rehab, sometimes the best people to work on rehab is those who have been addicted to certain things.
Yeah.
Though they have committed mistakes in different ways. So I mean, I rehabilitated that because I know I committed mistakes and I acknowledge them, and so far so good. So if somebody wants to be helped in the way of what not to do to ruin your parenting role, hey, I am someone that they can learn from.
Awesome. We might put the details in the episode description.
No,
but
exactly,
I've really appreciated this chat, and hopefully I'm sure there's a few things that we've touched on there that we could probably go deeper into as well. So maybe we can get you on again at some point to have another chat. But again, thank you for giving up your time, and thank you for being a part of the Sandy Ball Parenting Podcast.
No worries. I never have done something like this. Sometimes I have written things and have shared things in different, but never so deep. It has taken me back into some things where they're hidden sort of thing. But as I said, parenting is something that if you learn how to love, you will love doing it.
Yeah.
That's my lesson learned.
I appreciate your time. Thank you.
Thank you for listening. Personally, these interviews are providing time to reflect on my week as a parent. Let me know if anything stood out for you during the chat. As the new pod on the block, it would be great if you could look out for us and share this episode with someone you think who may be interested. While you're at it, why not head to our socials and show some love with a like or comment. Keep an eye out for the next pod drop. Big thanks to Stilo Media for producing this piece of art we call Sounding Board Parenting. From my heart to yours, I hope you are making progress on something you love and makes you feel alive. Remember, this can go anywhere.